And rose and ascended into heaven. He said to his disciples, "But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor," and do you remember, we looked last week as Graham Jefferson had that tug of war, if you were here last week, and someone who was struggling in the tug of war, that was Katie, and the counselor or the paracletus, the one who draws alongside, came and helped her, and that was a picture of the Holy Spirit. So unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him, the Holy Spirit, to you. So that's a bold claim Jesus is making. He's saying it's better for us to have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, than to have Jesus himself in bodily form on earth. Isn't that a remarkable thing to say? Don't you sometimes think, actually, I'd really quite like to see Jesus himself. That would be a lot better. If he was in Brighton tonight, I'd be there. Well, the Holy Spirit is here. And you know what's amazing about the Holy Spirit is that he does two remarkable things. That the physical presence of Jesus in this world wasn't able to do. Tim has, I know, shared this fairly recently in the morning, but the things that the Holy Spirit is able to do. And the first is he universalizes the presence of Jesus. When Jesus was here in bodily form, he was still only able to be in any one place at a time. Whereas now the Holy Spirit, this day, has been working in myriad of places all across the globe. Astounding to think. Tim referred to my time in Ethiopia. And just, you know, I can picture some of those congregations and different churches I went to that will have been gathering today. The Holy Spirit will have been at work. And not only does the Holy Spirit universalize the presence of Jesus, the Holy Spirit internalizes the presence of Jesus. Isn't that a wonderful thing? My daughter put it like this the other day when she was going to have a first day at a new school. That isn't it great? Jesus can come with me. And I said, yeah, it's amazing. And no one even knows. They're not going to stop him and say, you know, if I went with my daughter, they'd say, excuse me, you've got to wait outside and, you know, wait till school ends. But no, the Holy Spirit internalizes the presence of Jesus as you go into your workplace tomorrow. As you go into your neighborhood, that the Spirit of the living God is there in you, working through you. Even though, Jesus was going along with you, they might say, oh, excuse me, he can't come in here. But now you go, and Jesus is going with you. Hallelujah. So we're exploring then what that looks like. And I want to say that all these things tonight have to do with family. One of the wonderful things that the Holy Spirit does is he brings us to a real deeper understanding of what it means to be part of the family of God. So tonight we're going to explore that, and I want to leave time and space at the end for just the Holy Spirit to minister to us some of what he does as he reminds us that we're family. And in families and in the Godhead himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, love is a crucial part. Agreed? Love is a vital part of families. And the Holy Spirit has this wonderful way of ministering to us the love of God and reminding us of what it means to be part of the family where the love of God is a hallmark. And so I want to talk as I go through tonight about some love languages. You know, I have a love language that, some people are really good at gifts. I'm not so good at that. But I like using words. You might realize that. Sometimes I need to not say quite as much, but as I encourage with my words, and that's one of my love languages. But you know, while we all have different languages, God uses all of them. So we're going to just see tonight how that works out in the family of God. Okay, so the first thing I want to talk about is how the Holy Spirit helps us realize that as we come to know Jesus, as we believe in him, as the Bible describes it, we're born again. Jesus is the first person to use this. It wasn't some American, church kind of bumper sticker. Actually, Jesus was the one who said, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." And he talked about that as being born of the Spirit of God in our lives. And so we need to be those that are, as we believe in Jesus, are kind of born again. We have the Spirit of God come and like breathe new life in us, as we were looking at last week. And when that happens, you know what? We become a child of God. We become part of God's family. And the Spirit starts to testify with our spirit that we are God's children. There are some amazing verses in Romans chapter 8, which I want to turn to just now. If you've got your Bible, you might want to read Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. And describes the wonderful freedom that we have in Christ as we come to know Him and be in Christ. But this amazing chapter starts like this. Romans chapter 8, 1 and 2. It says, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I hope you realize that tonight, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit set us free from the law of sin and death. There's something new that's happened. And so pick up with me in verse 14 and see what it says. Verse 14 says this, because those who are led of the Spirit of God are sons of God. You did not receive a spirit of fear that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. Verse 16, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Wow. We are God's children. It's an amazing thing the Spirit does in us. The Spirit comes and somehow helps us see that we can call God Dad. Father, Abba. My little 8-month-old baby is just learning how to voice some things. And praise God, first thing he's learned to say, Dada. I think he says it for everyone. But I like to think that there's something there. But you know, he can say Dada. He can really say. And you know, it really means when I hear him in the night, Dada, I respond. You know? And there's something about our receiving the Spirit and the gift of the Spirit that it means we have access to God and we can approach His presence. And He's not going to say, sorry, I'm too busy. But He's going to welcome us and He draws us in. And just like how when my kids cry out for me, often what they want to know is that I'm there, so that they're calling out so that I can be present. And really, you know, when we're crying out to God, that's often what we want. We just want His presence. We want to know He's there. We want His touch. So if you like, the first love language I want to refer to as we talk about what it is to know we're sons and daughters of God is, you know, to experience His touch, His presence, His felt presence. It's great to know He's present, but the Holy Spirit comes and brings feltness of His presence. As I'm, walking down the street, it's my family, my children, my wife, who I'm holding hands with as I'm walking. They're the ones who feel my touch. The same with God, that the Holy Spirit enables us to come and sense His touch, His presence, and us know that we are His children. So I pray tonight that the Holy Spirit will do something in your life, that you'll realize afresh His love, and that as you call Him, and that you can call Him and cry out, Abba, and that you can be born again and you can be His child. And maybe you've been born again. You just need to remember again that, Dada, come be with me. And you'll sense His touch. Second thing I want to talk about, though, is not just the fact that we become sons and daughters of God, but there's this amazing thing that the Holy Spirit does. And that is that He comes and helps us to have a sense. And I'm just searching through my note to find the third point. So I'm skipping over that. To have a sense of becoming like Him. So when you're in a family, you know, people often look at my kids and say, oh, you look like your mom, you look a bit like your dad. And there's a sense of you get the family likeness. And the Holy Spirit too comes and helps us develop a family likeness. So not just do we know we can call on our dad, we call on God and He'll be there for us, but we know that He's going to be doing something, there's something going to be happening naturally by the Spirit of God that's going to make us more and more like our Father God. And it's a wonderful way in which the Spirit does that. And it produces something beautiful in our lives that the Bible refers to as fruit. You might have heard of the fruit of the Spirit. I have a wonderful sister-in-law who's great at graphic design. Some of you know her. Her name is Izzy. And Izzy and Joel used to be part of this church. And she used to just doodle while she's watching the TV or something. And this is one of her kind of doodles that she did on the fruit of the Spirit. What do you think of that? Can you see it? I hope it's clear enough with the light. It's just Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You know, those are such beautiful characteristics. You see them in people and you go, oh, wow, look at that love. Look at that life of patience or that peace there. And that's what God's life looks like. That's what Jesus' life looked like. And you know, whatever you might look like on the outside, when those characteristics are in your life and the Spirit is the one who produces those, you can't kind of conjure them up. But when he's at work, hey, you know, you look beautiful. And there's people in this church, and I've seen when you're going through a crisis or something that is exercising your patience. And I see patience, and I think, wow, that's beautiful. There's a wonderful story that I heard of. I read the story of a remarkable woman called Chiara Lubich. And when she was 19 years old, she was living in northern Italy. It was about 1939. So can you picture what would be going on in northern Italy in 1939? That's right. It's the outbreak of the Second World War. And the bombs are falling. And she and her friends asked this question. Was there an ideal that the bombs could not destroy? What a great question to ask. Was there an ideal that the bombs could not destroy? And the answer they came up with was yes, love. They had experienced the love of God being poured out into their hearts and they wanted to share it. So they started to go around, these teenagers, going around helping those around them in need, sharing what little food they had, finding clothing for people, comforting the bereaved. And such a kind of warmth emanated from them that they were given a nickname, the Focolari, which means the fireplace hearth. That movement now has 2 million members in 182 countries, and it's based on a very simple command of Jesus, love one another as I have loved you. Mutual love, the readiness to give their lives for one another. Their rule of life, 24 hours a day, is living the golden rule. The golden rule is Jesus' word. Do to others what you would have them do to you. And Chiara says this, love the other person as yourself, not with words but with deeds. And imagine how the world would be if the golden rule was put into practice. Not only between individuals, but also between ethnic groups, peoples, and nations. If everyone loved the other as their own. How remarkable, the beauty. You just read that and you think, that sounds beautiful. Don't you think that sounds beautiful? You can see how people are drawn to it like a fireplace. When the Spirit of God comes and puts the likeness of God in our lives, I tell you what, people are drawn. It looks beautiful. And the Holy Spirit wants and can and does do that. He produces fruit in us. I don't know if you like fruit, but it's just great, isn't it? You know, you can enjoy it, and you've got the different segments in your orange. Often we cut up the apple, and it's so refreshing, it's beautiful, and you have a little bowl of fruit sometimes, just draws people around it. Anyone want an apple or an orange? Anyone, Lloyd? There you go, you can have an apple. Do you want a tangerine? There we go. So let the fruit of God be in your life. Let the Spirit come and take place. Okay, so that's the become like a child of God, family likeness. How long did that fruit just kind of emerge like that? As soon as the tree was there, then the fruit came? No, it takes time. Family likeness grows as the Holy Spirit works in our life. And that's one of the other love languages. And God is willing to invest time in us to see us become like him. Hallelujah. Because sometimes, we're slow learners. But he will keep working until your dying day at making patience grow in your life, making peace grow in your life. He's the one who's doing the work. Hallelujah. So, the wonderful love language of God, he brings and gives his time. Right, the next thing I want to talk about is unity in the family of God. One of the amazing things the Spirit does is he's one Spirit. I think we've got a scripture up here on the screen. Is that right, Mike? Okay, it's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3. Where it says, Paul writes to Ephesians, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all. And in fact, the whole of Ephesians 2, the beginning part, picks up on this theme of the unity, the body of Christ, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit does in the church, bringing even those who would have ordinarily been divided, Jew and Gentile, you know, in that culture, man and woman, or slave and free, they're brought together and united at one in him. And I just want to pause and say, you know what? We need more unity. We need more unity in the church in this country. I'm not just talking about us as a church here. Praise God for the amazing unity we have, the diversity and different, you know, races and ages and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, I really believe that the church is called to be united across the city, across the nation. I believe that God is doing something in that way. The Spirit of God is working. Tonight, like just being with your folks today, Phil, and just having you here and just sharing with other ministers in the city. And that's because the Spirit is the Spirit who unites us. And we keep in step with the Spirit. The Spirit will bring us together, and again, it will look beautiful. And you know, one of the things that happens when you have unity in the family is that when you're there, united, you serve one another. Now, if there's disunity, you stop serving one another. But when you're united, you serve. And that keeps that sort of family going strong. And it's true in marriage as well. We had a great privilege of attending Graham and Margaret's sort of golden wedding celebration yesterday. We gave them a bunch of flowers this morning and a big clap. It was a real joy. And your son shared about your marriage and what he'd seen in your marriage. And I remember, I think, this about the time when he talked about how Graham would seek to serve Margaret, and how Margaret would seek to serve Graham and serve the family. And he just used a little illustration of how one thing he remembered about his mum is that when the fruit bowl was being passed round, she always took the bruised fruit. That's service, it's mother's heart. And you know, isn't that something where we do that in families, when we're united? We look for ways we can serve one another in marriage, in family, in church life. Let's serve one another. We serve one another across the city. And then together with Christ, we serve others, even those outside the church, those who might even be hostile, because this is, again, part of the likeness of what Jesus does. So there, just a love language I want to talk about is that love language of service. It's Jesus who came and served us that we might be united. Often when others in his disciples are talking, who's the greatest? What a question that is for disuniting people. And then he would come and serve them. And they would realize, hang on a minute, as they're served by the risen Jesus, how can they be fighting over who's the greatest? And so the unity was restored. So, what have we had so far? We've had being sons and daughters of God, being remembered we're in his family, that we can cry out, Abba. That's becoming like God's child. That's touch, and letting the presence of God know us. We've got family likeness, the fruit of God being in our life. We talked about how that takes time and God's willing to invest the time. We've looked at the unity that's there in the family and that we can serve one another. And the next thing I want to talk about is gifts for the family. I don't know if you've got kids or grandkids and you give them any presents, but we try and do that, and it's actually, Tim, I hope you haven't forgotten, it's your daughter's birthday and my daughter's birthday this week, I think, coming up, so just yours the following week, but very, very close, and so we're slowly getting there and wrapping a few presents. It helps when Amazon does it for you, doesn't it? Do you recognize? This one, I think, is actually from Granny and Granddad, but it arrived in the post, you know, we try with our kids. We don't say, okay, you know, Amy, you can have presents on your birthday, but Lila, no presents for you. It doesn't work like that, does it? A good family? So if you're part of the family of God, he's got gifts for you. And you might look at someone else and think, they seem to have gifts. Maybe God doesn't really think maybe I don't have any gifts, maybe there's not. No, he's a good dad. He's got good gifts for us. But I don't give my 7-year-old and my 5-year-old the same presents. Isn't that good? Don't you think that's a good thing? Because then one of them's 7, one of them's 5, one of them's called Lila, and one of them's called Amy, and Jonah's going to be really glad when he doesn't get the same gifts as his sisters. And guys, God has got good gifts for you, but he doesn't all give us the same gifts. And the wonderful thing about God is he's got gifts for all the family, and in 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12, he talks about the different gifts, and be looking a bit more at that next week. And, you know, it's amazing, though. He loves to give us his gifts. And his gifts are sometimes, like his fruit is a sign of the Spirit at work in our life. So, too, are the gifts a sign that God's Spirit is at work in our lives. And we need to be those that are willing to unpack the gifts. If I gave Amy this on, Wednesday. And I gave her this. And this is not going to happen with my daughters because kids are really good at gifts. They get them. I think adults were a bit worse. We don't kind of get it so well. I don't know where we lose it. But if I gave this to Amy and I said, here's this gift, and she, oh, it's really great. Oh, isn't that fantastic, a gift. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll just keep it over here. And I'm sure at some point, you know, I'll get round to opening it. Is she going to do that? She's going to go, wow. And she's going to take it and she's going to rip the wrapper up. She's going to unwrap it and she's going to start using it. Do you want to know what it is? It's a watering can. A bit like God's gifts to us. They're useful, you know. They're to be used. The gifts that God has given you and wants to give you, He wants you to give them so you use them, you unwrap them. Have you discovered what the gifts are that God's given you? Or are you thinking, no, He hasn't given me all. Maybe He's given me that thing, but I'm a bit scared to unwrap it in case I don't like it. He's for you from your loving Heavenly Father. You know? Allow Him to work in that way. So the gifts of God, many and wonderful gifts. Just look in 1 Corinthians 12. You see all kinds of different gifts. These gifts lists are not exhaustive. Some He gives to them spirit of faith. Others He gives administration. Others He gives miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, the other of speaking in different kinds of tongues, to still another the interpretation of tongues. Some He gives the gift of evangelism, others the gift of leadership, others the gift of service. All kinds of different gifts that God loves to give us. And have we taken them and unwrapped them, and are we using them? Because the Holy Spirit wants to help us too. So lastly, as we obviously... that's a love language. Gifts. Again, it's not my brilliant love language. Praise God for my wife and my parents. But gifts, God, that's one of His love languages. He loves to give good gifts because He's got all these gifts for the children. The last thing I want to talk about, just as we come towards the end, I want to talk about how God wants to grow His family. Now, this is where it gets to be a slightly different to some of our families. We usually get to this point and we think, okay, that's enough. In Africa, they have lots of kids. Sometimes they have as many kids as you can have. So average family size in Kenya is 7. You know, God's not kind of worried that He's not going to run out of enough money for the kids He's got, or He's not going to have enough, you know. So He wants to grow His family. He is growing His family even as we speak. I think there's a staggering figure of about 100,000 people come to Christ every day. That's how fast the church is growing around the world. Just imagine that. God's family is growing, and the Spirit comes and helps this family be a growing family. The Spirit comes and gives us power to witness. Acts 1:8 is a very famous verse. Acts 1:8 says this. Jesus speaking, just before He ascends to heaven, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The last kind of love language I want to see that the Holy Spirit kind of works and God speaks into us. He speaks into our hearts, giving us words and a boldness to speak to others. So that there's these fruit, there's these good deeds, there's a life that's there. But what you see in Acts is that when the Spirit comes, He gives them boldness to speak. And they bear witness too.